Yikiri, my dear Talmud.
You ask in your letter, how should a Ben Torah relate to all the desires that he has? Desires could be in different areas. It could be in the area of money. It could be in the area of women. It could be in the area of honor. Desire. How does one relate to the topic of desire? Because on the one hand, we sometimes hear that it's something which is very important and it can help you advance and develop. And you have desires also for positive things, which is what pushes you and what motivates you. So desire certainly is something which is part of your role in this world and you can't cancel it out. On the other hand, the taiva is the Yetzer Hara. Right? The Yetzer Hara's main tool is engendering one to do things that are inappropriate. So if you say, I'm all with taiva, then it could be you'll be more productive in life, but then you may fall in many inappropriate areas. And if you say, okay, I'm just going to try and dull down, just try and conquer and overtake and not try not to have emotions and have desire, then also in positive areas which you really need the desire and you want to develop the desire, you're also not going to be productive. And therefore, this Talmud was asking the Alei Shor, his Rebbe, the Mashgiach, he said, right now, in the stages that I'm at, while I'm in yeshiva, how am I supposed to be relating to desire, which is called bad, and I know that it has a good side to it, but right now, some of that aspect, especially of being a father and being a husband, hasn't been expressed yet. I'm still not married yet, for the person who's reading, writing this letter. So how am I supposed to relate to that whole topic of desire? And not right now, but just to give a taster for the future, there's a very important sugya, which I hopefully will find the format to discuss, which is that there are sources which speak about overcoming desire, and there are other sources that speak about rechanneling desire. Some say, no, you have to cancel it and suppress it and overcome it. And some sources that speak about taking the desire that you have and learning how, instead of using it in an area which is taking you to a negative place, but to rechannel it in positive. In Hebrew, that's called kvishat hayetzer, yechvosh, to overpower, and tikkun hayetzer, rechanneling, redirecting. So the Alei Shor takes us to a Kabbalistic sefer known as Tomer Devarah. Many people have the custom of learning it during Elul, because it speaks about the Midas HaRachamim of Hashem. And he gives us direction on this topic. And even though he says that this is words of Kabbalah, and all the depth of it maybe we won't be able to apply, but certainly we can understand the message that he's teaching us and take out that message. So Tomer Devarah in the sixth perek speaks on the following way. He says, whenever a person awakens himself in the area of the Yetzer Hara, in other words, he allows his desires to guide him and control him, then he allows the Midas Adin to affect him as well. Those two are tied together. But when a person just gives into desire freely, then the way that Hashem will then relate to him won't be with the side of Chesed, but rather will be with the side of Din. And therefore, the Tomer Devarah recommends that a person should never move an iota towards desires that the Yetzer Hara pushes him towards, because moving in that direction is awakening Gevura. It's awakening the strength of Hashem. Just in brackets, a funny story. A very close friend of mine called Mordechai Meis, who was the year above me in Keren B'Yavne, was once in a car ride with Rav Blachman and Rav Silva. And that's always amusing. The way that they relate to each other and the jokes that they make, it's like a side of them which is Baruch Hashem wholesome. So Rav Silva was making some comments about designer clothing, and then Rav Blachman pulled out his lapel of his suit and he showed him some name which probably would turn eyes. I don't know what it was, but was something impressive. And then Rav Silva made a comment that, like, oh, so you fall into the category of, and he said some term which Chazal used. And Rav Blachman said a line which my friend Mordechai Meis, who was sitting in the back of the car, not suppressing his laughter. Rav Blachman said a line, but he said that powerfully. Rav Blachman said, I enjoy it, but I wouldn't move an iota for it. But there's great wisdom in that line. Meaning, yes, I come from the world of Slobodka. In the world of Slobodka, a Ben Torah is something which is you're proud of. And you dress accordingly to recognize the greatness of Torah. And therefore, yes, from the school of thought that I come from, a person will have a fancy home and fancy clothing, because it's not for your own sake. it's for recognition that someone who is learning Torah has to present themselves as someone who represents Torah in this world. I'm representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. But I wouldn't move an iota for it. Like, if it meant honor, if it meant like lowering myself, if it meant giving up on any other value, I wouldn't move an iota for it. So yes, I enjoy it because it means I'm representing Torah. But I wouldn't move an iota for it. So when it says here, Lo yitnona'a liyetzer hara, you don't move an inch for the yetzer hara. Why? Because then it becomes in control of you. And that will awaken Gvura above. The yetzer hatov, this is a key phrase that we're looking for, we're going to take out of this Tomer Devorah. The yetzer tov was created for a man's own needs. The yetzer hara was created for his wife. That's the language of the Tomer Devorah. The Yetzer Tov was created for you. That's what guides you. That's what gives you direction. If you have to make a decision, you're not sure what you should be doing, you need to know, what do I need to do? Hashem gave you the Yetzer Tov, that you can have an inner core goodness that will guide you towards what you are innately, neshama dika, supposed to be doing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu also gave you a Yetzer whose purpose was for you to be able to give outside of yourself, for you to be able to give to your wife. It was created for the purpose of your wife. And therefore, it's essential that you never awaken that Yetzer for yourself. You were given that Yetzer for you to use in a very specific area, to bring pleasure to someone else. But for you to use it for yourself is Me'ila. Me'ila. Me'ila Bekotchen. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you, when Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you a Korban Shlamim, then it's true that you will also get pleasure from eating the Korban Shlam. But you didn't bring it for your own pleasure. You would have not brought it to Hashem. You're just eating the whole thing yourself, right? You didn't have to bring it as a Korban. But the fact that you bring it as a Korban shows that you're doing it for the sake of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Does that mean you're suffering? No. It's very likely you will get pleasure as well. That's not the reason why you did it. You didn't do it for your own pleasure. You did it in order to bring Nachas Ruach to Hashem. And the Yetzer Hara that a man was given, he was given for his wife. Not, and you should never awaken it for yourself. And that's a halacha also in marital, that when the wife desires, then it's encouraged. But when the man desires, it's discouraged. Umekan yireh kama meguneh hakas, and all negative traits that emanate from a man wanting to enforce his will for his own sake. I want my way. That's the Yetzer Hara. But it's him being self-centered and awakening desire for himself. Not for what's going to bring him close to Hashem, which the Yetzer Tov is directing him towards, but he's taking that force of desire, which is designed for him to do good to others, and he's saying, no, I want it to be my way. In other words, he's using the Yetzer Hara for himself. He's using desire to get his own desire, which is transgressing what the, you know, the word chet in Hebrew is the same word that's used that when you're aiming at a target, when you're shooting, and you're aiming at a target and you miss the target, then the Hebrew word, it's from Tanacharin, the Hebrew word is lachti et hamatara, where you miss the mark. And that's exactly what chet is. Chet is where, if you aim appropriately and you score, then you succeeded. But if you were aiming, you were trying to do good, but it missed, then that's a chet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a yetzer, and he gave you the wife as the target. The goal of that desire was to be designed to bring pleasure to someone else. But when it misses, and you do it to get pleasure for yourself, or to be angry, where you're putting your will and your desires ahead of the others, then you've missed them up. And that's a chet. That's the Yetzer Hara. And therefore the Yetzer has to be bound. That you should never awaken it for your own pleasure. You should not awaken desire for women. You should not awaken desire for money. You should not awaken desire which leads you to anger or to honor. The only time you can ever awaken it is where it was designed for, in order to bring pleasure to your wife. And he goes on and he says that when you then have desire for your wife, and because of that you bring her pleasure, you buy her clothing, you fix up the home, and you say to yourself, I'm doing this for my wife, and what's bringing me to do it is the desire that I have. Logically, a man would never do that. A man would say, what do I need her for? She's so illogical. Women don't make any sense. Why spend more money to change the color of something? It's functioning perfectly fine as it is. You don't have to waste money on all these extra things that look nice, aesthetic. What do you need it for? But the man loves the woman, and he has desire for the woman. and he channels it into bringing her pleasure in ways that for him don't seem logical, but to bring her pleasure he'll do it. There's a beautiful line by Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta said, it doesn't bring him, but it's worth quoting. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta said that someone else's gashmius is my ruchnius. It's an amazing line. That for me to chase after desire, for me to say I want this food and I want that food and I'm willing to drive to some faraway place to get, there are people who hear of some special cheese restaurant and they drive kilometers, miles to go to this very interesting, unique restaurant that serves cheese with a slice of pickled cucumber. Whoa! Who ever heard of that? And they drive way out of their way to get to this boutique, unique restaurant. People go out of their way for their desires. That's your gashmius for your gashmius. But what about if it would make someone else happy? And I know that it would bring someone else pleasure. And I'm willing to go out of my way to do something that for myself I wouldn't do. Because for me it would just be physical. And I wouldn't do it myself. But I know it's going to bring joy to someone else. And I'll go out of my way to bring them physical pleasure. That's ruchnius. That's moving out of being self-centered and being focused on others. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanta said, someone else's gashmius is my ruchnius. For me it's spirituality to help others. Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, Rosh Hashiva of Merkaz Harav, the son of Rav Kook, who wrote this farm that are more well known. So he used to have shirim in his home on Rochava Vadia in the Geula neighborhood of Yerushalayim. And the boys used to come, the Talmidim of the Shiva used to come, and they would hear shirim from him towards evening. And then he would carry on and give more shirim after the evening. And he himself was extremely parish from the world. Like he would only eat the bare minimum, and it wasn't a struggle for him. That's the level that he'd reached. He was not interested in this world at all. But boys used to come from all over. Guys used to come from Caribbean Avenue to go and hear these shirim. And they would travel a while. And when he would see them getting a bit edgy, then he would say, there's a good steak place. It was on Regula. Yeah, he would say, there's good pizza over there, and there's good chips over there, and there's good ice cream over there. And they would laugh at him because they would say, Rebbe, how do you know? Like, you're so not connected to the world. You're so not involved in the world. Like, how? So he said, it's important to you, so it's important to me. But that's unbelievable. The fact that you can go out of yourself and recognize that there's need of other people that you're able to appreciate. And then even if you don't appreciate it, but someone else's gashmis is my ruchnis. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. So back in the Tomer Devarim. And therefore, you should be aware that whatever you're doing to bring your wife joy, that is bringing the Shekhinah down into the world. That is sweetening the Yetzer Hara that was created for the other. And the misuse of it, which is the Yetzer Hara side of it, is where you take it and you awaken your own desire. And that's the opposite of Avodas Hashem. So these words are somewhat lofty, and they are words of Kabbalah, but the source of what's saying here is very clear. That the Yetzer Hara is not Ra at its root. It's a bit of a misnomer. Thank you. It's a bit of a misnomer to call it the Yetzer Hara, because it's actually a Yetzer Tov as well. There's a Yetzer Tov which is designed for me, which is my inner core of good, which I can tune into and listen to, which brings me towards Hashem. And there's another Yetzer, which is desire, which that desire was given to me for me to appreciate what other people need and how to bring pleasure for others. And the only reason it's called Ra is where I become self-centered and I use the desire to bring myself pleasure. But Tzvi Yehuda, when he recognized what desires are, and then he was able to then think of his Talmidim and what they need and therefore be sensitive towards them, that was using the Yetzer for good. He was able to be aware of what awakens desire and then help his Talmidim. When a man is married and then he expresses his desire only where it's bringing his wife pleasure for the sake of his wife and not because he's awakening his own pleasure. Honor is an amazing example of this. Honor is an amazing example. Honor is something which a person should never seek to get, but should abundantly give to others. Like we spoke about yesterday or the day before when I sat over there. Abundantly give. And you might say, no, I want to do my friend a chesed. I want to help him be more spiritual. I will never honor him because it's going to make him. No, of course not. Chas v'chalila. That's not your role. It's his issue how he deals with the honor. That's not your issue. Your issue is making sure that you're not looking for honor yourself. But at the same time, you shouldn't be insensitive. You shouldn't say, well, I don't need honor, so I'm not going to give honor to others. No. use the desire for honor that you recognize, maybe you've worked on, and maybe you've become sensitive to, and maybe you're no longer in the position, chasdei Hashem, that you're looking to other people for building you, you're not looking for honor, but you still have that desire that you can be sensitive to other people and build them. And that's the Yetzer Hara without the Ra. It's that Yetzer Hara, which is a Ra, if you use it towards yourself, but it's very, very good once you recognize the needs of other people and you use it towards building others. A person's home is the place of Shechina. But the Shechina only dwells where you're using it for others. All your purpose of being in the marital relationship is to give, to bring joy. But where your purpose in the marital relationship is, what am I going to get out of it and how it's going to give me pleasure, and that distances the Shechina, that pushes the Shechina away. And therefore, this idea of working on the Yetzer Hara, the way we're describing it now, is not Kvishat HaYetzer, like we spoke about at the beginning. It's not just suppress. It's a bad thing, it's a negative thing. It's a very, very unhealthy approach that a person would say, women are evil, women are the Yetzer Hara, let's align the two. Who was the one who brought man the fruit to eat? It was a woman. You see, woman is evil. It goes together. People who think that way have challenges when they get married. Because I've been thinking that women are impure and disgusting and ichsa since my bar mitzvah. And now I'm supposed to meet one and walk together and be easygoing and have fun together. What is that? She's the source of evil, isn't it? Man is good, woman is evil. Isn't that how it works? Isn't that the alignment? That's a very, very unhealthy approach. And wrong. Not only is that healthy, it's just wrong. Rather, tikkun ha-yetzer, not kvishat ha-yetzer, is where a person recognizes that the Yetzer Hara was given to him and it's healthy, but never ever to be used to awaken his own desires, but rather only ever to channel them in order to bring his wife pleasure. B'shum ofen ein lirot b'yetzer ha-ta'ava devar ma'us u'mutu'av mitzad atzmo. Never look at the Yetzer Hara as something which is disgusting. It doesn't mean you should never suppress it. There are times where in the moment, it's awakening you to a point where the only thing that will naturally happen now is that you'll sin. And at that moment, don't think of, I have to awaken this, but not negatively, and that you'll fall. That's not going to work. Don't think of tikkun ha-yetzer when you're in a battle. When you're in a battle, the only thing you do is suppress, or rather distract, and get involved in something else. Don't try and fix it at that moment now, because if you start thinking, it's not really bad, okay, good. No, don't think along those terms. Suppress at that moment, because you're in a battle. But if you're asking, when I'm not in the battle right now, and I'm thinking of the concept, how do I relate to the whole topic of desire and the Yetzer Hara as a concept, then it's essentially good. And it can essentially be channeled in a healthy way. You have to build yourself. A person who's always been allowing the Yetzer Hara to control him, marriage will be very hard for him as well. Because chas v'shalom, his wife will become an object. His wife will become an object. And he'll say, how good is it that I got married? Because I used to express the Yetzer Hara in inappropriate ways, but now I'm married and I express it in appropriate ways. But really, it's no different. Really, he used to fulfill his own desires in a halakhically objectable way. And now he fulfills his own desires by using his wife. That's still inappropriate. Okay, it might be that halakhically it's allowed, but it's still the Yetzer Hara. It's still using it for himself. That's still inappropriate. And the tikkun ha-yetzer that a person recognizes can already start at this stage. You can already start recognizing that I'm awakening my desire for myself, that's inappropriate. Let me see how this desire can use for others. And in the examples that we gave, the example of honor is the easiest one. It's really the easiest one to use in this case. Where I recognize that I want honor, or the example that we spoke about, Tzvi Yehuda, who recognizes he has a desire for food, where a person can say, I recognize that's a natural, normal desire that people have. Let me see how I can benefit others with an appreciation of that desire. And then that's a tikkun ha-yetzer. It's being aware that Yetzer Hara exists. For me, it's Ra. To go and benefit others in that case is good. The Yetzer of sexual desires is bad when it's only focused on me getting pleasure. But when it's focused on bringing joy to my wife, that's where it's channeled for the good. Now, right now, temporarily, that might not be able to be expressed. And therefore, short term, it will be a battle which a person has to suppress. But it's something which a person knows that it will be expressed in a healthy way, so long as you've already now started training yourself that you don't just give in to desires in any time. You don't just give in to your... rather, you're able to have self-control. You're able to rechannel and reform towards Hashem. When you think of the natural development, you see that man is made up of two parts. There's the physical side, which as a person develops and grows, that's to do with him. the cells in the body develop from the moment, especially the ones that are designed towards a person's physical growth from the time as a young baby, building him. It starts off when he's just forming inside his mother's womb. Starts developing and developing and developing. The first year is unbelievable, exponential growth. And that's that side. However, there's another area of development which only comes when puberty comes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't develop a man in the area of the next generation when he's just first born. Around his bar mitzvah age, around that time, then suddenly a new level of development starts taking place. And that whole area of development is not for him. That's for the future, for his wife, for the future generations. The initial development that takes place is for him. All that which develops until that age, and continues to develop after that age, that's all a man towards himself. It's his own development for himself. The area that develops during puberty, that's an area which is designing him to be a father for the next generation. For him to give over to the next generation all that he has started developing within himself. Now it's challenging because from a halachic perspective, you're able to already be a father from that stage. And in fact, logically, once you're bar mitzvah, then just like all other mitzvahs apply to you, in theory, the mitzvah of peruv ravu also applies to you. But there's an emotional development that also has to take place. There's a maturity level that has to take place. And therefore, Chazal say, don't get married age 13, get married age 18. By then you're mature, by then you've learned, by then you're already old enough to be a father. And if it's difficult for you for some reason, and you need to push it off, then you can wait until you're 20. But beyond that, you see the Chazal were not in favor of pushing off. Now our generation, although technologically is very advanced, but maturity, it seems like we go back further and further as the years go on. The earlier years, I'm talking about 100 years ago, that when a person was 14, he would go out to work. And he was able to fully be financially independent. Chazal say you don't have to support a child from age 6. That they can go out and fend for themselves. Today, that's not the halacha. Because today, people are not mature. And it happens to me again and again that I ask someone who's in Shana Bet, what are you planning on going into? I don't know. Undergrad, you still have another 4 years to make a decision. You know, I don't have to rush to make a decision what I want to do. When I'm a good 26, 24, when I'm a good 24, then I'll decide if I want to go on this track or that track, and I'll see where it takes me. So you see that maturity levels are much lower. People used to be much more independent. And now, the design of the culture and the entitlement that children have cause them to push off taking responsibility. And with that, unfortunately, also comes pushing off having a family. It's unfortunate. The ideal would be that people would be more mature and take more responsibility earlier. And then the battle that all the teenagers have with the Yetzer Hara of this area that we're discussing wouldn't need to happen. If a person would be able to get married at a younger age, then all these battles which are unhealthy, and they're not designed to be that way, but they happen because people push off getting married until they're 22, 23, 24, they wouldn't happen. It wasn't designed to be that way. The design was supposed to be that a person gets married younger, and then even before they're expressed in an unhealthy way, they're expressed in a healthy way. So this point, which we're in the middle of a flow, we now have an opportunity to daven about. And we'll go up to shul, and we'll daven Maariv. And in our davening of Maariv, one can contemplate, I am a father in the making. And even if I'm not yet ready to be a father, everything that I'm building now in my Avodas Hashem, in Musa Seder, in learning Gemara, in my discussions with people, is giving me the skills and the tools now, the maturity now, that when I will be a father, which Hashem has already designed me with the ability to do, that when I will be a father, I'm already building myself that I will have what to give over, a maturity, a closeness to Hashem, a learning. I already now have those skills that I know that I can give over to that next generation. So although physically you may not be able to father just yet, but the emotional building and the spiritual building that you're doing now is already enabling you to be that preparation necessary to be a father. To be continued with Hashem.